Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, in a sacred place and holy place of pilgrimage, one should select a place in which to perform yoga. The place must be level and not too high or low. There one should sit very comfortably, being steady and equipoised, keeping his body straight, and thus begin chanting the Vedic pranava. Purport. Generally the chanting of Om is recommended, because in the beginning one cannot understand the personality of Godhead. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatva jagyan madhvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Unless one is fully convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has a tendency to become an impersonalist yogi, searching for the Supreme Lord within the core of his heart. Janasvastita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yang yoginaha. Here the chanting of Omkara is recommended, because in the beginning of transcendental realization, instead of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one may chant Omkara Pranav. There is no difference between the Hare Krishna Mantra, Maha Mantra, and Omkara, because both of them are sound representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pranava Sarva Vedishu. In all Vedic literatures, the sound vibration Omkara is the beginning. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The difference between chanting Omkara and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is that the Hare Krishna mantra may be chanted without consideration of the place or the sitting arrangements recommended in Bhagavad Gita 6.11. Shuchau deshe pratistapya stiram asanam atmanaha natyuchitam natinicham chaila jina kushotaram. To practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kusha grass on the ground and then cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should neither be too high nor too low, and should be situated in a sacred place. The Hare Krishna mantra may be chanted by anyone without consideration of the place or how one sits. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has openly declared Niyamatak Smaranena Kalaha. In chanting the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, there are no particular injunctions regarding one's sitting place. The injunction Niyamatak Smaranena Kalaha includes Desha Kala and Patra, place, time and circumstance. Place, time and the individual. Therefore, anyone may chant the Hare Krishna mantra without consideration of the time and place. Especially in this Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to find a suitable place according to the recommendations of Bhagavad Gita. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, however, may be chanted at any place and at any time, and this will bring results very quickly. Yet even while chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, one may observe regulated principles. Thus, while sitting and chanting, one may keep his body straight, and this will help one in the chanting process. Otherwise, one may feel sleepy. Of course, if you keep your body straight in this direction, you may be very sleepy. Some of us may take it like that. It needs to keep in the back straight, not the whole body. Even then we still fall asleep. I've seen devotees fall asleep in kirtan. There's one devotee in Bari Place, he fell asleep in the kirtan. I've fallen asleep taking prasadam. Somehow another, it's Kali Yuga. No, Chaitanya is very kind. This instruction taken generally, of course, is a general instruction for all of us to accept that which is favorable for our purpose. Purpose of our lives is to love Krishna. Process of developing a love of Krishna is primarily chanting. Other things are there, of course. Chanting is the primary practice. So whatever is favorable for chanting. Hare Krishna mantras. So we have our japa, we have our kirtan, bhajan, and so on. Different situations we chant Hare Krishna. When we're chanting japa, of course, we try to choose a good place. Lying down in bed is, unless you're sick or have no choice, is not usually the best place. The temple room is the best place. Sometimes you have to walk outside. Prabhupada used to walk also. But whatever is favorable to different devotees, you may find circumstances a little different. Some devotees have a hard time sitting with their back straight. Some of us need to walk. Whatever it is, to try to facilitate the chanting of our mantra. We do chant Om, but primarily, as Prabhupada mentions here, the Om vibration is automatically there within the Hare Krishna mantra. They're both the same in as much as they're both transcendental. They both come from Krishna. However, as we'll see in a minute, there are some differences in one sense. I'm going to read something this morning. I don't usually use the computer during class. I don't even like to use it, frankly. But logistic problems occurred, and I kind of have to resort to using the computer if I'm going to read what I want to read. So if we can just move this across a little bit. Thank you. Because this process of going to a holy place, a sanctified place, a quiet place, sitting in a certain posture, controlling one's breath, concentrating on the tip of the nose, chanting the Om vibration, holding one's back straight, focusing one's attention entirely. All these things are there in the Bhagavad Gita, also as mentioned here, one verse in the sixth chapter. But even Arjuna rejected that process as being too difficult. The mind is more difficult to control than the raging wind. I guess we've all experienced the workings of the mind when we chant japa as well. Sometimes the mind wanders when we chant japa. Sometimes you get that experience. Or always. It's hard to control. And we keep chanting. Transcendental sound vibration of the holy name still purifies, even if the mind is not so fixed. So I'm just going to read some quotes from Srila Prabhupada on there are many points in this purport, no doubt, but on the point that the Hare Krishna mantra wears Om vibration, to chant that with any effect requires qualification. It requires circumstances and place. You can't get the same effect, even in Kali Yuga at all, but unless the circumstances, time, place, everything is in order, and we're also in order, the mind has to be stable, and so on and so forth. So it's not recommended in this age, although it is a transcendental sound vibration, a sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no doubt. But for generally, for people in general, that's not a practical process to achieve perfection. And not only that, of course, we're here in a little bit, doesn't even achieve the same perfection as chanting Hare Krishna. So this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, 20th chapter, text 18. Srila Prabhupada in his purport to the... No, it's actually the verse. It's not even the purport, it's the verse. Regardless of time or place, One who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. And here's a purport, third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, can be chanted even within the abdomen of one's mother. One can chant while sleeping, while working, while imprisoned in the womb, or while outside. The Krishna consciousness cannot be checked in any circumstance. There's a little repetition you might say here, but the Prabhupada say repetition of a good thing is not bad. We have only to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 24 hours daily. There is no fast rule and regulation. We can chant in the street or on the subway, in our home or in our office. That's from the Path of Perfection. In a conversation in Los Angeles in 1972, Prabhupada said, you can chant anywhere. There is no restriction. There is no special rules and regulation. You can chant anywhere. Whenever you find it convenient, you can chant. And this is Boston, I think. Boston in 1969. But here, the same thing, Prabhupada's same verse quoting. Niyamataksmaranena kalaha. Here you do not require that you have to take your bath before chanting Hare Krishna. No. Sometimes devotees have gotten into the idea of we can't chant Hare Krishna until I bathe, clean my teeth, done this, done that. I said, no, you do not have to wait till you've taken your bath. If we're not chanting in our sleep, at least as soon as we wake up, try to remember to chant Hare Krishna. There's one prayer, Prabhupada said, this is how we should pray to Krishna. My dear Lord, please never put me in forgetfulness of your holy name. You know, I can't remember the whole prayer, but that was the essence of the prayer. Never put me in forgetfulness of your holy name. So we always practice this, trying to chant, and then perhaps even in our sleep, chanting will also go on. Practice makes perfect. No, you can chant even there. Oh, Mr. Lang, excuse me. No, because you are in the bathroom, therefore you cannot chant Hare Krishna? No, you can chant even there. So such a thing. Because if actually Krishna, that very name is Krishna, then how I can remain impure? The potency is there. There was one time in Jagannath Puri, there was one devotee named Gopal. And very young boy. And he saw this devotee going along, holding his tongue. A different story about who it was. But he said, why are you holding your tongue? And the devotee said, I'm going to the bathroom. So what? He said, well, I'm going to pass stool. And if I don't hold my tongue, the tongue will carry on chanting Hare Krishna. So I've got to stop it. He said, why are you stopping it? The holy name is transcendental. Should be chanted everywhere, even whilst passing stool. And what happens if we die when we pass stool and we're not chanting? Heaven forbid. But you should chant all the time. There is no question of place or circumstance. Holy name never becomes contaminated. It purifies everything like the sun. It makes us antiseptic, probably describes it like this. Maybe going into a disease condition or whatever. Sometimes people take an inoculation to become immune from the disease. You know, so chanting Hare Krishna is like an inoculation. That's what we do it for, but it also has that side effect, you know. It keeps us in our... Well, Prabhupada mentioned something along those lines in a minute, I think. The very name, then keep chant, because if actually Krishna, that very name is Krishna, then how can I remain impure by chanting? The potency is there. It makes me at once pure. Just like as soon as there is light, there is no question of darkness. Darkness and light cannot stand together. Either it must be darkness or it must be light. So as soon as there is light, so Krishna is light. Krishna Surya Sam Mayahaya Andhakara. Krishna is just like the sun, Maya is like the darkness. Wherever there's Krishna, there cannot be Maya. Krishna's name is light. So this chanting brings us, Tamasi Mam Jyotiyakama, to bring us out of that darkness into the light of spiritual life. Therefore, there cannot be any impurity. Impurity is due to this material body. That I am at that moment, I am in the spiritual platform, so this impurity cannot touch me. If you simply stick to this principle, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalor Dasa Dasa Anudasa, that I am nothing except the eternal servant of Krishna, then you are in the liberated platform. Krishna consciousness is so nice. You keep yourself. And for keeping yourself in that consciousness, the simple method is this chanting, Hare Krishna. You keep yourself chanting as many hours, 24 hours. Why as many hours? 24 hours. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Lord Chaitanya says, this is to be practiced 24 hours. And that you can do. It requires simply practice. This is sacrifice. This is surrender. This is the sacrifice for this age. It's not easy. We have other things to do. Obviously, you can't literally chant verbally all the time. But as much as possible, whenever there's spare time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this Kirtaniya Sadahari, especially for households. Obviously, they got household responsibilities, work, this, that, the other. But whenever there's a spare time, he says, chant Hare Krishna. It means we're in that, it comes in the bracket. We're filling up every moment we have. We're chanting the holy names, keeping ourselves pure, and making that sacrifice. Of course, it's wonderful to chant even once, or what to speak of 16 rounds or more. But we don't want to put a limit on it. There's no limit to the chanting. It's not like we finished our 16 rounds and done with it. It's over. That's it. I did it. I finished my business for the day. Or I went to Aarti. I've done it. I went on Harinam 1 hour last week. That's enough. We should look and try to remind ourselves every opportunity to chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the solution to all problems. This brings unity to us. It helps remove envy, lust, greed, anger, all the enemies by keeping in the association of the holy name. And that you can do. It requires simply practice. Even in sleeping you can chant Hare Krishna. I'm sure many of us here remember having that experience of chanting in our sleep, isn't it? I'm sure you must have done some kirtan or japa or whatever, something or another. There's no bar. In sleeping, in eating, in going to the toilet room, there is no restriction. You can go on, Hare Krishna, you see? That will keep you in your swaroop, in your real identification, and you'll never be attacked by Maya. Just keep chanting. No matter what the mind says, whatever's going on around us, you know, there's no doubt all kinds of material desires keep popping up. Just keep chanting, keep chanting. There's a talk in Boston. And this is San Francisco, 1968. Now, the first one's not. I don't have the reference. I don't know why. Second one. Please, therefore, continue to chant this mantra as many times as possible throughout the day and night. I do not think there is any inconvenience or loss on your part if you do so all the time. Even when you are walking, you can softly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Or even when you're on the bus going somewhere, you can chant also. When you are working with your hands, you can also chant. And when you are resting or going to take rest, you can also chant. Even in your toilet room and while taking bath, you can also chant. In this way, there is no limitation or restriction for chanting this holy name of God, Krishna. And his energy, Hara. In doing this business, there is no loss. But there is very great gain, which is transcendental realization. So many. One time there's unlimited quotes on the glories of the holy name and how the holy name is not restricted by time, place and circumstance. In fact, it adjusts time, place and circumstance. It's very interesting. In the pastime of Vamanadeva, when Vamanadeva took away, you know, all the property of Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj was humiliated, you could say, at that time. And then Shukracharya, his spiritual master, condemned him to go down to the lower planetary systems because Bali Maharaj had disobeyed his instruction and had given charity to Vamana against his wish. So he cursed him like that. And Lord Vishnu then asked Shukracharya what was Bali Maharaj's fault. And Shukracharya, who's the spiritual master of the demons, he replied along those lines, mantatas tantatas chidram deyakala vastutaha. But even if all the chanting, the mantra is not pronounced right, even if the circumstances are not right, the time is not right, the place is not right, the priest is not right, the paraphernalia is not right, you haven't even chosen the right mantra, what the speaker pronounced it correctly, or the right mantras. If the holy name of the Lord is chanted, anusankirtanam tava, everything becomes nischidram, everything becomes perfect. So it purifies even Vedic program, Vedic, like we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva or Om Jnana, this we chant Om a lot too, and we have our Vedic yogas and Om is chanted and so on. But yeah, especially in Kali Yuga, now every situation is imperfect. So the chanting of the Lord's holy name is the only activity which brings all auspiciousness in this age of false Kale Dosha Nidayraja Nastiheka Mahanguna Kirtana Eva Krishnascha. There's only one good quality in this age of Kali, Kirtanat Eva Krishnascha, the chanting of Krishna's names. Now what else is going on? Just keep chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, to attain perfection, there's no hard and fast rules for chanting, but to attain purity, let's say, you know, full effect in chanting, then there are standards so that we can come to pure chanting. But in principle, the process, the Yuga Dharma, is simply to chant the holy name of Krishna. So our request, this is also nice, and there is no hard and fast rule. You can chant anywhere and everywhere. While walking you can chant, while driving you can chant. That doesn't mean you chant on japa beads while you're driving the car, by the way. You chant Hare Krishna, but it's not good to chant on japa beads. It's dangerous. Besides, it's not, if you count those as your rounds, that's not very good. But it's very dangerous, not at all. But you can still sing or chant without the beads. Those who are sitting in the car can chant. Nobody's going to tax you, Prabhupada said. No one's going to tax you for chanting Hare Krishna. There is another letter where Prabhupada said, even if they do tax us, we'll pay the tax and carry on chanting. We're not going to stop chanting for anything. You are chanting. Give me this tax. No. Just keep chanting. And some when we go on the streets, sometimes they also want the taxes. I just came from Zurich as Sylvan. He comes from Switzerland. And I just came from Switzerland last night. And in Zurich, you have to, if you want to chant on the streets, you've got to pay 150 Czech francs. That's about 130 euros to do kirtan on the street, every time. You cannot, you get immediately arrested. Anyone's found on the street doing anything, busking, selling something, giving away something, you're not allowed to at all in Zurich. It's not like that in Basel. You can do it in Basel. Bern. But in Zurich, absolutely, you got to pay. You pay 150 euros, Czech francs, 130 euros or something. Then you may get a permit to do it for in a certain place for a certain time. So they are, they're taxing us there. But we can chant around the lake. We chanted around the lake the other day. That was nice. But not in the city. So some places are like that. Or you have to get a permission. But somehow or another, we have to keep chanting. We have to spread the holy name somehow or another. It's the only practical process for people in this age. You are chanting. So our request is that everything will be complete if you take to this chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there is no very strict rules or regulation. You can chant anywhere, either in this room or outside the room, or on the road, the street, the bus. Wherever you find the opportunity, you chant simply Hare Krishna and see the result. From lecture in Boston. This is a conversation. Now here's an interesting thing. Now this verse describes the so that's just something on anywhere, chanting anywhere, any place, any time. Now the chanting of Omkara is usually of smaranam. It's usually in the bracket of meditation. This whole process of sitting with one's back straight in the various position, breathing, exercise, and so on, usually comes under the category of smaranam, which is remembrance. Of course, the goal of our life is never to forget Krishna, always remember him, isn't it? That should be the goal of our life, to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Those who remember me at the time of death, they come to me. So remembrance of Krishna. So this process of chanting the Om mantra is not that people necessarily remember Krishna by going into meditation. They are indirectly remembering Krishna because Om is not different, being the sound vibration or manifestation of the Supreme Lord. But generally, as Prabhupada mentions here, they generally become impersonal. It doesn't so much soften the heart. There are two kinds of names of Krishna, or God, or the Supreme, or addresses of the Supreme, and the primary and the secondary. And the secondary names do not awaken our natural dormant affection for the Supreme Lord. They may purify us, they may even give liberation. Taraka Brahma mantras give liberation, but they do not awaken our necessary, our dormant love of God. So chanting Om is in that category. It is a mantra which liberates us and may even situate us in the Brahma Jyoti, if chanted purely, which is extremely difficult to do so, because it has to be chanted with a mind completely controlled. And it's done silently in general. There are some mantras, of course, where the Om is, but the actual process of chanting on Om mantra is generally done as Manasika Japa. Most tapamsu sometimes in the mouth, but not generally verbal. So it only has a benefit if our mind is peaceful and stable. Otherwise, there's nothing going on, simply sleeping or spacing out. And now the same thing happens when we chant Hare Krishna. You could say with the mind, we fall asleep or we space out, but the chanting goes on. That's why loud chanting is more recommended, especially in Kali Yuga, than silent chanting. Because the chanting goes on and the purification continues. The holy name is still there. And if we're doing it in our mind, and the mind wanders, there's no benefit whatsoever. Zero. But when we're chanting verbally, then the benefit continues. The senses are becoming purified. The mind is becoming purified. The vibration still goes on. And everything around us becomes purified also, to a certain degree at least. So therefore it's much more recommended that the loud chanting of the holy name rather than the silent chanting. Of course, in some circumstances, also silent chanting may be there, but we should concentrate primarily on at least verbal chanting of the holy name. So in the Javali Samhita, this is quoted, I think Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas quotes this statement from the Samhitas, that the process of Nam Smarana has been described. It means meditating on the holy name. Those who are desirous of obtaining unlimited variety of spiritual bliss should always perform japa, meditation, dhyana and singing, gana, and kirtan of the topmost names of Hari. These are different ways of chanting the holy name. But in the practice of Nam Smaranam, one cannot obtain spiritual bliss as long as the heart remains impure. Whereas the practice of Nam Sankirtan does not depend on purification of the heart. Therefore, Nam Smaranam is less effective than Nam Sankirtan, and Nam Sankirtan has greater importance. Nam Sankirtan means verbal. Japa also comes under the category. Bhaktisiddhanta describes that japa, when we chant it loudly, is also in reality, because japa actually means silent. At most, tapamsu, like we chant Gayatri in the mouth, no sound. But when the verbal, oral, there it comes under kirtan, different types of kirtan. Although we call it japa. It's like japa kirtan. So it's also a kind of, we sit together also, chanting japa in the temple, together, usually. Sometimes you're alone, but it's still verbal in most cases. So it's a form of kirtan also. So our request is that everything will be complete if you take to this chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there is no very strict rule or regulation. You can chant anywhere. I think we mentioned that already. Chanting the holy name is the chief means of attaining the love of Godhead. This is from Bhaktisiddhanta by Jiva Goswami. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor on one's having taken birth in a good family. Now, another aspect of any time, place, and circumstance is not that you have to become qualified. Sometimes people say, you know, this chanting Hare Krishna mantra is a Vedic mantra, should not be chanted by everyone or anyone. But it's not the case here. We see this chanting can be chanted by anybody. There are no rules or restrictions regarding this mantra. It's not an ordinary mantra. It's called Paraka Brahma mantra. It awakens our love of God because it's come. All the mantras transcendental mantras you can say are coming from God, but they have different purposes. Some are for liberation, some are for material achievement, some are to counteract reactions, some are to go to Vaikuntha. But this mantra has come from Goloka Vrindavan, Goloka Era, Prema Dana Hari Nama Sankirtan, to take us back to Goloka Vrindavan. A very special mantra. It's not an ordinary mantra. It doesn't just give liberation or even elevation to Vaikuntha. The Hare Krishna mantra, being Krishna himself, if we associate with Krishna in this mantra form, in his Namarupa form, then one can go back to the Goloka Vrindavan. That's interesting. I don't know. You know, it's a play on words, but this morning I was thinking, the word home came to mind. Home. Going back home, back to Godhead. And if you take out the H and the E, he, Krishna, you get om. So the impersonalists take Krishna out, they take him out, and they just have om. You put he there, and you can go back to God. We've got to put Krishna there. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. So it's not, again, although chanting Hare Krishna is all, if we want to actually have a relationship with the name, for the name to reciprocate with us, it's not controlled by our mechanical efforts. The name is Krishna, Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It's Krishna himself. So if we want to actually realize that, that's by Krishna's mercy. We really, the whole process depends on Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada writes in the purport in the 7th chapter, 1st canto, how the awakening of our dormant affection for Krishna does not at all depend upon the mechanical process of hearing and chanting, but depends wholly and solely upon the mercy of Krishna. We've got to get that mercy of Krishna. That's the real key. So the mercy of Krishna, here's an indication, humble and meek. This mood of service. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj describes that the key to pure chanting is Vaishnava Seva, service to the devotees and to the Guru. Guru Seva and Vaishnava Seva. This is a key, opens the door. Otherwise it remains mechanical, there's obviously a benefit, but it takes a long time. One has to get the mercy. One has to get the mercy. Same thing with offensive chanting. Bahujama Kariyari Shravana Kirtana Tabatana Paya Krishna Pari Prema Dana. You can chant. It'll take an awful long time. And it may be an awful long time as well. But by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the Guru, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we serve them, and the key is to avoid Vaishnava aparadha and to be positive by actually glorifying and serving the devotees. The holy name is very pleased. This is humble and meek. And having faith in the holy name. Yasya devi parabhaktir tadivitata guru tasyatayatata katapakashante mahatmana. When we have an implicit faith in Krishna, and in the devotees and the spiritual master, everything is revealed. It's by Krishna's grace that he reveals himself. By Krishna's grace. Therefore, that is the fulfillment. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances and austerities. Because the purpose of chanting Om, the purpose of austerity, the purpose of sacrifice, the purpose of everything in the Vedas, study of the Vedas, everything, is ultimately to attain love of Godhead. Otherwise, we haven't achieved our ultimate goal. It's Shrama Avi Gavalam in a certain way. It's a waste of time. The purpose of our existence is to love Krishna. That's why we exist. So the Lord has come in this most easy, accessible form. We just have to keep associating with him. And it's like when you associate with a person, you know, we should try to associate favorably. We should try to behave in a way that, you know, they're there, they're present. You don't ignore them when they're there. If you want to associate with them, you want to keep associated with them, you try to behave in a way that they want to be there. In other words, if you ignore them or you start offending them, they'll probably go away. If you invite someone to your house and you start telling, look, mate, I don't like you. You're no good for nothing. I don't want to know about you. They'll probably go away. Or if you ignore them entirely, they'll probably go away. So, you know, Krishna's person is not just a name we use to get something. He's personally present. But he's there. The problem is we're not there. That's the problem. Krishna's there, we're not. We're off somewhere else. We're out in the field somewhere. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, has been praised. Oh, it's been praised everywhere. But that was a purport by Srila Prabhupada, commenting on that statement by Jiva Goswami. It must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy names. Something to work towards. How we chant while we're eating. Sometimes the devotees do chant, but you know, it's not. Then you can chant in your mind, maybe. And sometimes chant between bites, but you know, Prabhupada never made a big thing of that. But as much as possible, chant Hare Krishna. Now, here's some interesting things by Sanatan Goswami. I say logistic problems with the computers, and I couldn't save things, so I haven't got it all. I haven't even got the exact reference. As far as I know, it's some commentaries on the Bhagavatamrita, but I'm not sure. We think that because it engages the voice, ears, and mind, and because it attracts others as it does oneself, glorifying the Lord is better than remembering the Lord with a fickle mind. Sometimes it's said that silent chanting is better than verbal chanting. And if one can chant purely in the mind, one has to have a pure mind, not just with a restless mind. You cannot do. Then that type of chanting is very effective. And Vedically speaking, there are verses which uphold that mental chanting is more effective. But the effect of the mantra is only to be experienced if one chants according to the direction or the process as Prabhupada has described. One has to chant according to the process which one is given by the Guru, the one who gives us the holy name. Srila Prabhupada has given us the holy name and he's given us the process to chant it. Only then will the holy name reciprocate. Only then can it be effective. It's not by our own speculation or our own impressions of how to chant it will the holy name actually reciprocate. When the voice and the other restless internal and external senses are controlled, then the mind becomes steady in remembrance of the Lord. Remembrance of the Lord is the result of this endeavor. This is the opinion of they who are attached to meditating on the Lord. They who have faith in meditation employ only the mind in remembering the Lord. But it's not the situation for most people in this age, or most of us in this age. We can't do that. The kind of devotion service one loves and enjoys and finds sweet as nectar is the best kind for him. The saintly devotees say it is not the same for the result that one obtains. In other words, it's natural that we'll be attracted to a particular kind of devotional service. But Sanat Goswami, that the result has not the same nature as the means, for it is not many, but it is only one. There may be many means to attain that goal, but there's only one goal, spiritual love for the Lord. The means may appear many, but there's only one goal, to love Krishna. Prabhupada describes that God has his representation in three letters, A-U-M, which is sounded, vibrated, Om. There is no difference between Omkara and Krishna. It is admitted in the Bhagavad Gita that Omkara Smi, Aksharam Omkara Smi. Of all the letters, I am the Omkara. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Omkara, there is no difference. So far, the transcendental sound vibration is concerned. But the objective is different. By Omkara, one attains impersonal existence in the Brahma Jyoti. It's considered the same because it's spiritual. It's coming from Krishna. One can attain the spiritual realm, but then there's a variety there. There's a difference. And by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, one attains Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. One attains the spiritual body, and he is situated in the spiritual planets. We have many times discussed that there are spiritual planets. That is the difference. So far quality is concerned, both of them are spiritual. Omkar and Hare Krishna. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. With glorification of the Lord, the happiness of meditating on the Lord increases. By meditating on the Lord, the happiness of the sweetness of glorifying Him increases. We see that they increase each other. They are one. As glorifying the Lord gives happiness, so does meditating on Him. They whose hearts are attached to one thing becomes peaceful when in their hearts they see the object of their desire. As men stricken by fever break their thirst and become happy by drinking water cool as nectar, so by glorifying or meditating on the Lord one becomes happy. If they have the power to glorify the Lord, the devotees are ashamed to remain silent in a secluded place. In solitude, meditating on the Lord becomes perfected. Glorifying the Lord may be done either in solitude or surrounded by many people. You can't meditate in any other situation except for the right circumstances, was mentioned earlier. But chanting can be done anywhere. Of the many ways to glorify Lord Krishna, chanting His holy name is the first, because it has the power to give the great wealth of pure love for Him. It is considered the best. Who can describe the peerless glory of Lord Krishna's holy name, which delights the heart and is like waves of nectar always lovingly tasted by the tongue? Although all the Lord's names are equally glorious, by chanting the names that are dear to the devotees, one quickly and easily attains his desire. Appearing in one sense, the nectar of the holy name floods all the senses with sweetness. Appears on the tongue and floods all the other senses. The holy name's appearance on the voice sense delights both oneself and others. For this reason, glorifying the Lord's holy name is better than meditating on him. It is said that chanting the holy name is a great treasure of love for the Lord Krishna. It is the best and most powerful spiritual practice. It is like the best mantra. They who know how to taste spiritual nectar know that spiritual love is the fruit of devotional service. In spiritual love, one chants the holy name without stop. They who know how to taste nectar describe the spiritual qualities of intense love for Lord Krishna. When the chanter is in distress, the Lord's holy name is chanted with great love. In the material world, also when we're in distress, we may chant, but this particularly refers to those who are feeling separation from the Lord. We're also feeling separation from the Lord, although it's covered by ignorance. And in that situation, we should also chant with great, at least with great endeavor, with great, let's say, enthusiasm. Know that as the Chataka birds lament when there is no rain cloud, and as the Chakravaki birds lament when separated at night from their husbands, so the devotees distressed by separation chant the holy names of the Lord. Only by the wonderful mercy of the Lord, who is a nectar ocean of wonderful pastimes, is the wonderful sweetness of chanting the holy name manifest. It is not manifest by one's own efforts. So we have to pray for that mercy of Krishna while chanting japa and kirtan, bhajan, whatever it is. We try to understand the focus, the purpose behind the service of chanting. This is the main practice of all the 64 limbs of the devotional service. Chanting the holy name is the primary one, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should always try to remember that. Chant as much as possible. Try to remember the nature of the name, our nature, and the purpose of chanting. What we chant. Try to be conscious. This way, Krishna, if we're a little conscious of Krishna, Krishna will become more conscious of us and shower his mercy on us so we can actually start to experience a relationship with Krishna. It's not just a thing we do to achieve something other than love of Krishna. All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?